Thank you, Fred. Throughout the summer months, we've been looking at the theme of revival through the lens of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, through his life and his ministry. And today we're going to shift our focus off of John Wesley and onto his brother Charles. In many ways, Charles has profoundly shaped our understanding of who we are as Methodists. His theology is sung in many of our hymns that fill the pages of our hymnals. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Hark the herald angels sing. Did y'all know that? That was a Charles Wesley. Hark the herald angels sing. Jesus Christ is risen today. All of these were from the pen of Charles Wesley. And they can be found in our hymnal and also in the hymnals of many denominations in our world, in our country. And Charles understood that the gift of music and the power that comes when we are able to sing out the words of our faith together. He understood the power when we take what we understand in our faith and we lift it in song, but not as a solo, but together we sing. Music allows us to express the depth of our love and the depth of the love that has been poured out on us. And today our scripture from the New Testament comes, it is not a scripture of song, but it is a reminder of the love that has been poured into our lives and how we respond to that love. I'm going to be reading from John's first letter, chapter 4. Whenever I give a Bible to a young person, I tell them, open up to 1 John and read chapter 4. That's where we begin. God is love. But today we're going to be looking at verses 7 and verses 10 through 12. So I invite you to follow either along in this in the screen or in your Bible with in the pew or your own Bible too. So 1 John 4, verse 7 and then verses 10 through 12. Hear now God's word. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and our love is perfected. His love is perfected in us. God's words for us this morning. Thanks be to God. So I'd like you to take your hymnals out, the red ones. Why do we sing? What's the purpose of singing? The Methodists have been known for their ability to sing and their enthusiasm to sing together. And part of this identity came out of the revivals, the Methodist revivals, where they would sing late into the night. And it may also have to do with the fact that our hymnal not only tells us it's important to sing, but it gives us very clear directions straight from the pen of John Wesley about how we are supposed to sing. Did you know that? Did you know there are rules for singing? Well, if you didn't, I'm going to ask you to open up your hymnal and turn to page, it's 7, but it's in Roman numerals, V11. A couple pages in, not far in. Directions, oh, not rules, sorry. Directions for singing. Learn these tunes before you learn any others. And afterward, you can learn as many as you want. So we begin singing these songs first. And the reason we do that is they tell us about who we are as God's people. They inform our faith. They remind us of our identity as God's people. Number two, sing them exactly as they are printed here. Not really sure what John was thinking or when he wrote that, but he doesn't want you messing with it. So we've got to stick to the script. Sing them exactly. My husband and I have this debate all the time. I will look at music and say, no, we can play with that. He'd say, no, the author wrote them this way. The composer wrote them this way. This is the way that you are to sing it. So John Wesley felt, just like my husband, sing them the way that they are written. And don't stray from that. Sing all of them. Today we will not have time to sing all of them. I don't know, and to be honest with you, I have yet to sing all of them. There's a lot of them. And back then, recently, Renetta Ogu came up. She's on vacation today, but she gave me her hymn book from Sierra Leone because everybody had their own hymn book. And it was a bit smaller than it is today. Today we have many more hymns than used to be in the hymn book. Now comes the important part. Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half asleep or half dead. But lift your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you were singing the songs of Satan. So very interesting. You all are good singers, but I sometimes feel like people do not want to be heard. They're so afraid their voice isn't going to be as good as the person sitting next to them. And if they're sitting next to Dr. Deamer, they do not want to sing out. He's looking around. What? Who? Me? But this is how I feel, and this is how I imagine. I believe there is this filter that when we sing, God only hears our heart, not our voice. So if our heart is from a place of beauty and a place of deep love for God, it doesn't matter what's coming out of our mouth, because God hears it as a beautiful song. So sing with good courage. Sing with good courage. Number five. Sing modestly. Now I feel like we're saying the opposite thing. Do not bawl so as to be heard above or distinct from the rest of the congregation, that you may destroy the harmony, but strive to unite your voices together so as to make one clear, melodious song. And there is something beautiful in that, not just from a musical point of view, but our voices need to blend together so that we can hear the beautiful song that God creates when we come together. It is not about one. It is about all of us joining our voices together. Six, sing in time. Whatever time is sung, be sure to keep with it. Do not run before or stay behind, but attend close to the leading voice and move therewith as exactly as you can, and care not to sing too slow. This drawling way naturally steals on all who are lazy, and it is high time to drive it out of us and sing all of our tunes just as quick as we did at first. Whew. So we've got to sing it with courage and energy and excitement, not too fast, but not too slow, just in a way that speaks to the beauty of the hymn that has been created. And lastly, and I've kind of spoke about this already, above all, sing spiritually. When we sing, have an eye to God in every word that you sing. Aim at pleasing God more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing, and see that your heart is not carried away by the sound, but offered to God continually. So shall your singing be such as the Lord will approve here, and reward you when he comes in the clouds of heaven. Singing is a prayer to God. Our hearts, as we sing, should be in tune to God in all that we do. And so I give thanks for the direction John Wesley took singing very seriously. It was not something that we did just in between the scripture or in between the prayers or the sermon. It was central to their time of worship. And I believe with all my heart that it is central to our time of worship as well. You see, it is the core of our identity as Methodists. And a large part of this identity comes from Charles. They believe Charles wrote almost 10,000 hymns, 9,989 hymns. It is calculated that he wrote an average of 10 lines a day for 50 years. 10 lines a day for 50 years. He completed a poem every other day. And today, John and Charles Wesley have published 56 collections of hymns in 56 collections in 53 years. These hymns were Charles' poetry, and they set it to the time of that day. But the people didn't read. And so the way that they would teach the hymns, they would pick hymns that people already knew, hymns that people were used to, and they would line them out. The leader would sing one line, just like Karen was doing in Bible study today. The leader would sing one line, and then everyone would repeat, and this was done until the congregation would learn this new tune. And Charles' words would teach the people in the pews, it would teach them about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to live out our lives after the example of Christ. And the hymns were expressions of praise and thanksgiving to God, and some of them celebrated key moments in their lives. The hymn, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing, was written on the anniversary of Charles Wesley's conversion moment. And the hymnal O For a Thousand Tongues was inspired by Peter Bowler. We've talked about Peter Bowler, but he was an influential Moravian leader who exclaimed this. He said, "Had I had a thousand tongues, had I a thousand tongues, I would praise Jesus Christ with all of them. Had I a thousand tongues, I would praise Jesus Christ with all of them." And this phrase is what inspired Charles Wesley's hymn, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. So why do we sing? Why do you sing? And I know I may be biased. Music is core to who I am as a person. But I believe that music can touch us far deeper than anything I say here in the pulpit. I believe that music can touch people's lives far deeper than anything that could be said or spoken. Charles Wesley, we're going to look at a hymn that probably many of you know. It's entitled, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Do you all know this hymn? It's actually in our hymnal. It's in the Faith We Sing. And later on, we're going to be blessed by a rendition by Lami Garber, who's going to share it with us. But His Eye is on the Sparrow. This hymn was written by a woman named Sevilla Martin. And it's based on this couple, the Doolittles. The Doolittles lived in Elmira, New York. And for 20 years, Mrs. Doolittle had been confined to bed because of a very extreme illness. and her husband, who also struggled with mobility, had managed his business from a wheelchair. And so the two of them, she was in bed all the time, and he was trying to get around via his wheelchair. But it was very, very difficult for them. And the songwriter, Sevilla Martin, tells of a visit to the Doolittles in 1904. She was deeply impressed by their joyful spirit. Despite the severe adversity that they lived their lives in, they seemed just to be filled with joy in everything they did, in everything they said. And she couldn't understand it. How can you live like this and still be filled with such joy? And Mrs. Doolittle responded to the question in this way. She said, "Mrs. Martin, how can I be discouraged when my Heavenly Father watches over each little sparrow? How can I be discouraged when my Heavenly Father watches over each little sparrow? And I know that He loves and cares for me." And within just a few minutes, Mrs. Martin completed the writing of her new text, which has been a source of encouragement for many people who are followers of Jesus Christ. How can I be discouraged? So it's interesting. I knew that I was going to be preaching on this text, and I knew that today I was going to be talking about sparrows. So two things happened yesterday that were a blessing in my life related to birds. The first one was I was sitting on the couch, and I kept seeing these things just flit through. And that happens periodically. So I said to Sean, go to the window. I think there's a bunch of birds out in the backyard. And don't you know, the backyard was filled with sparrows. Filled with sparrows. And I said, "God, you are too good. Too good." Because the sparrows were together. They traveled together. And it is important for us to know that not only do we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and watches over us, but our Heavenly Father has given us those that will journey alongside us. And that is a great gift. And the second gift, and I wasn't sure if I was going to share this with you or not. I'm looking for Matilda. Where is she? Oh, there she is. So I'm approaching 50. Not quite yet, but it's getting there. And I have had this dream my whole life to fly like a sparrow, to fly like a bird. And yesterday, I was able to live out that dream. Now, let me tell you, I went with Matilda and Jude. It is not as easy. Those sparrows look very, very comfortable floating along. This was like, whoo. Yeah, so we jumped out of an airplane yesterday. We did it. We did it. It's been my dream forever. I will not do it again, so don't worry. It's over and done with. But to be able to experience that freedom was such a blessing. But I don't believe that human beings are meant to do it. I don't think I will do it again. Maybe Matilda. Maybe Matilda. Jude and I were like, good, done. But to experience and to know in the midst of that, we prayed before, we prayed over, we said, "God, keep us safe, get us to the ground safe. Thank you, God, thank you for getting us to the ground safe." But it was a wonderful blessing to experience what it feels like to be a sparrow, or I don't know, maybe it doesn't feel like that for them, but it was definitely a gift for us. So Why do we sing? Why do we break out into song? What are the things that lead us to sing? Believe me, I wanted to sing for joy when I hit the ground yesterday. But what are the things that lead us to singing? And I think it doesn't begin in our hymnal. It begins in our Bible. It begins in the word of Scripture from today. Brothers and sisters, we sing because we have been filled with a deep love. It is not because we loved God. It is because God loved us first. It is that love, it is the knowledge of that deep love that allows us to sing powerfully. So I want you to think about your own lives and those times. We don't always sing in times of joy. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we sing because music allows us to touch that deep part of us, that even in our times of sorrow, we know that we are loved by God, that we are not forgotten. And so we can sing because we know that God's eye is on us, no matter what we're walking through, no matter how many trials we are facing. God does not leave our side. So my first time of singing was in the church choir. Her name was, the choir director's name was Mrs. Schatzneider. Have I told you about Mrs. Schatzneider? No, I don't think I have. Mrs. Schatzneider was this little tiny woman who led the children's choir. And she heard me singing one day. I was too young. I was probably about Magnus's age, maybe even younger. And I was singing at the top of my lungs. And I said, "Mommy, I want to be in the choir. I want to be in the choir." My mom said, no, you're too young. You can't be in the choir. And Mrs. Schatzneider took me by the hand, and she said, "This young girl's going to sing." And this past week, we were talking about the points in our lives where God broke in and led us to something new. The places in our lives where God said, "Yes, I'm going to be working in and through your life." And my first moment was that moment when Mrs. Schatzneider said, "She's going to sing. She's going to sing." Brothers and sisters, we sing because we know just how much we are loved. And it doesn't matter how well our voices are. Elena says she can work with any voice. If you can talk, you can sing. This is what our new director of music says. It doesn't matter what your voice, we sing because it is an expression of the love that we have received. It is our way of thanking God again and again. Thank you for getting me through this place. Thank you, Lord, for walking with me. Thank you, Lord, for providing me with the sustenance I need for today. Thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters that walk with me. Thank you, Lord, again and again and again. It is an expression of that love that has been poured out to you, to us. I sing as a way of sharing that love. I sing because I have known that first love, a love in Christ Jesus that has the power to offer freedom, that has the power to offer us salvation, that has the power to offer each one of us acceptance, no matter where we have walked, no matter how many times we have failed, no matter how many times we have missed the mark. It is the power of that love that allows us to sing out and say thank you. And the gift that happens when we join our voices to one another in that song, that promise, that love, is that we then have the power to heal the world around us. Music has the power to bring healing in each one of our lives. And so, no matter where we're walking, we can say the words, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely? With Jesus as my portion, my constant friend is He. for his eye is on the sparrow. Brothers and sisters, I know that he watches me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are going to sing. We are going to sing because we know this love. We are going to sing because we have been blessed over and over and over again. And so you did a nice job singing before, but we're going to do some more singing. And this time, we are going to fill this place that we might be a transforming sound, not only in this space, but out into our world. So would you stand as together we sing? I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. And you'll find that in your hymnal number 333. I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. And obey the Spirit of the Lord. So I'll...